नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमः।
टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 कैंटो 1 16 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 19
धर्म उवाच। कच्चित् भद्रे अनामयमात्मनस्ते विच्छायासि म्लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्तराधिम् दूरे बंधुं शोचसि कंचनाम्ब धर्म उवाच। कच्चित् भद्रे अनामयमात्मनस्ते विच्छायासि म्लायते षण्मुखेन आलक्षये भवति मन्तराधिम् दूरे बन्धुं शोचसि कञ्चनाम्ब
धर्म इन्क्वायर्ड्
कच्चित्
वेदर्
भद्रे
मैडम
अनामयम
क्वाइट हेल एंड हार्टी
आत्मनः
सेल्फ
ते
अंटू यू
विच्छाया असि
अपीयर टू बी कवर्ड विद द शैडो ऑफ ग्रीफ। श्री श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी की श्री श्री गौरताय की श्री राधा प्रभुपाद की म्लायता which darkens ईषद् slightly mukhena by the face alakshaye you look bhavatim unto yourself antaradhim some disease within dure long distant bandhum friend shochasi thinking of kanchana someone amba oh mother translated purport by divine grace is bhakti vedanta swami prabhupada shri prabhupada ki dharma in the form of a bull asked madam are you not hale and hearty why are you covered with a shadow of grief it appears by your face that you have become black? Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? Purport. Pashal Prabhupada. The people of the world in this age of Kali are always full of anxieties. Everyone has ailment. From the very faces of the people of this age, one can find out the index of the mind. Everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. The particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives at a place far away from the son, or the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. These are but some important factors which make the people of this age always unhappy. Om Ajnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading from the chapter How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. King Parikshit is taking the role of an ideal king, wandering in disguise. Generally, the kings would go in those days in disguise to see how the people are faring. Are people peaceful and happy? Are the children protected? Are the women protected? Are the cows and calves protected? Are the old people leading a peaceful life, especially while leaving their bodies, so that they may attain higher goal? So the kings would go around and see, and the purpose was to curb the miscreants and to protect the citizens. It is said the duty of the king is twofold. One is to protect the citizens from vicious elements which may exploit them, and at the same time to engage the citizens in their occupational duties, keeping God in the center. So if somebody is shirking the responsibility and becoming lazy, and then the king would engage them in their duties also properly. So when Parikshit was going around like this, he was so much glorified by all his citizens, especially for the lineage in which he is coming, the Pandavas, his grandfathers, like Yudhishthira and Arjun, and for his connection to Krishna, he was so much glorified. So Parikshit was very happy, and he was happy to be reminded about his devotee grandfathers. And at one point of time, suddenly he came across this cow and the bull, both of whom were very miserable. Like you see here in this verse, the bull was actually standing only on one leg, other three legs practically beaten down. And it was standing with bent legs, almost about to fall down. And the cow was also lamenting, weeping. So he came across this sight. So as soon as he saw this cow and the bull, the cow is the Bhumi in the form of a cow. Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Bhumata or Bhumi Devi is a consort of the Lord. Like you will find Lord Vishnu on either side, he has Sri Devi and Bhu Devi. You find. So Bhumi is also a consort of the Lord. Because the Lord lifted the Bhumi from the Garbhodak waters and placed her in the proper position at one time. So she is also very dear to the Supreme Lord, being his consort. And she can take any shape. She can take the form of a woman She can take the shape of a cow. Prabhupada writes 4 or 5 different types of forms that she takes at different times. She has that capability. So here we find she is the presiding deity of the earth. She comes here as a cow. She represents the whole earth. And we have also the bull who is Yamaraj or Dharmaraj here, who is the upholder of religious principles. Yamaraj actually holds the chastising rod to see that the people follow the path of dharma. Here Yamaraj is coming as the bull. So they both are conversing. What is the connection? The living beings who are living on the surface of the earth are supposed to follow dharma, the principles of dharma. And when they give up the principles of dharma, then it poses a great burden to the earth also, it is said. When they become liars, when they don't follow the laws of God. That is why here there is a beautiful conversation between bull and the cow, or the earth and the dharma. Both of whom are suffering. The earth is also suffering. She is weeping. You can see tears in her eyes. So it's a sign of great misfortune for one to see the cow weeping. Because it is said in the scriptures, the sign of a happy society are the happy cows. The cow should be happy. See, Prabhupada writes in the purport towards the end, people have great anxiety for maintaining the status quo. Which means people have 3 types of troubles, Prabhupada is saying. One of which is the maintenance, kutumba bharan. In Kali Yuga is a very difficult job to do. In the Vedas it is said, dhanavena dhanavan, gavayo dhanavan, it is said. Which means, a wealthy man is one man who has abundant cows. Based on that only we can estimate who is wealthy and who is poor. Nowadays, even the richest of the people, millionaires, they don't have even a single cow at their house. They have abundant dogs. There's no dearth of dogs, but they don't have cows. So they are not considered rich at all. According to Vedic life, if you have cows, you are rich. So 2 things are used in the village to estimate how rich you are. How much, they call it as morai, they call it. Or they call it, in English, they call it as what do you call it? Silo, I think, is it? The big tank kind of thing in which they store the grains. So they will always ask, if you say I'm a rich man, they will ask how many silos you have and how many cows you have. Based on this, you are seen as one who is rich. If you have grains, if you have milk, you don't have to worry. You can maintain generations. A family, there, nothing to worry. Prabhupada says during the Second World War, there was such crisis for food and water. At that time, in Germany and all, the notes, rupee notes, the dollar notes, they were thrown in the streets for no one to use. Because the paper was of no use at all. What will you do with the paper if for exchange of that paper you don't get any commodity? There is no use of that paper. So in the World War II it happened, Prabhupada says. So, real wealth is counted in terms of gold, silver that people would store and milk coming from the cows and also the grains. Then one is rich, then one is maintained. So, in the Vedic times, people in every home they would have a cow. They would maintain, they would take care of the cow, protect the cow, worship the cow as one of the mother. Like here you see, he is calling us Kanchan Amba. Amba means the mother. Dharma is calling the cow as a mother. So she's treated as good as one's own mother. She's protected like that. But when cows are made to weep, cows are made to cry, that is the downfall of society. Then no one can be happy in the world. It's not possible. When Prabhupada says, you see, when man started slaughtering the animals, then naturally, a love between man and man, or man and his family members, or one state and another state, even that love is thwarted. There can't be any love. The love has become so scarce in this age that even a mother wants to abort the child, her own child in the womb. She doesn't even want to protect the child. Just see. Who would want to murder mercilessly one's own relative, one's son or daughter or husband or wife? So people have become like that, hard-hearted, because they have made the cow cry. When you make the cow cry, then the whole society becomes ruined. So, at the same time, we also find here, dharma is standing on one leg. The other three legs are hit by this Kaliraj. So in this way, the dharma is also suffering. But the dharma in this particular verse is talking to the cow. Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease? Or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? So Prabhupada is writing here how people in this age of Kali are always suffering. Varieties of sufferings. And one type of suffering is explained here. And the particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, the father lives at a place far away from the son, and the wife lives far away from the husband, and so on. So this is something very commonly seen nowadays. Actually, family, when we say family, means they have to be living together. Mother, father. Sometimes in a photograph, you find 40, 50 people in one family. Joint family. The great grandfather with a big turban in the center. He is the family head. And then you have several, and then their wives, and then everyone's son, and sons also married, and they have their children. From a 90, 95-year-old man down to 3 or 4-year-old child, you find everyone in 40, 50 people. So such kind of joint families are becoming unheard of nowadays. Just recently, a boy from the village who is living in Pune city came to me. So he was telling that he has a choice in his life now. Either if he lives in Pune city, he will get about 15,000 rupees salary. But he has to work 16 hours a day. And he has difficulty even with his devotional service. He has difficulty even to eat and sleep properly. He has no time to give for his wife or children. All day he has to work. And even when he is at home, he may get a call in the mobile. It's like that. So, or another choice is he can go to his village where he can do a business there, where he hardly has to do any work because he has many partners there. They will all do the work. And he can do kirtan, bhajan, he can do preaching. He can live very happily. And in a day, he may have to spend 2-3 hours for the work. That too in the field. Breathing fresh air. Eating nice food. Drinking clean water. Living with mother and father, relatives and friends. Worshipping the Lord. He can live. He had a choice. So he was asking me what I should do. So, of course, I suggested him, go to village. Better you live there. Because you are yourself confident of living in village. Happy in living in village. And I told him that you can come 2-3 times during yatras. Yatras, you can come and keep in touch with devotees, and then you can cultivate in the village. So he was telling that most people, village boys, they would prefer coming to city and earn some money. And all of the money, even if it is spent off, he said they won't mind. Struggling like a dog, street dog in the city. Because in the village you earn a good name. When people talk that such and such farmer's son is working in the city, some prestige. People are ready to accept that prestige and struggle like street dogs in the city, rather than living in the village and living life like a king, that they don't want. You can see that. So, you can see here is an example of how a son becomes separated from the parents. Son is in the city, and the old parents are in the village, and they have to maintain themselves. And in this way, people get separated nowadays. If this is happening in village, what to speak of city? People in city, they want to go to America. They want to go to other cities. They send their children. Nowadays, husband is working in one city, wife is working in another city. Ultimately, it's for the money only. Everyone wants money, money, money. For the sake of money, they are ready to be separated millions of miles apart. Because that's what is a deciding factor now. Happiness is counted in terms of how much money we have. Then who cares about relationships? People think, you live in Australia, I will live in Canada, son will study in America, and daughter will be in India. All just got scattered away. And then once in a while they meet together for a few days. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. Chanakya also says, unhappy family that he talks about. He says, Mata yasya grihe nasti, భార్య అప్రియవాదిని, ఆరణ్యం తేన గంతవ్యం యథారణ్యం యథాగృహం. హీ సెయింగ్ సమ్ టైమ్స్ ఎ మ్యాన్ ఇన్ అ హోమ్ హీ హాజ్ వెరీ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్స్, లైక్ ఇన్ మాతా యస గృహే నాస్తమించిన మదర్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో అన్ఫేవరబుల్. సమ్ టైమ్స్ మదర్ ఈజ్ నెవర్ అట్ హోమ్, షీ జస్ట్ వాండర్స్ హియర్ అండ్ దర్. మాతా యస గృహే నాస్తి. అండ్ భార్య చ అప్రియవాదిని మీన్స్ నా వైఫ్ ఆల్సో స్పీక్స్ షార్ప్ కటింగ్ వర్డ్స్ ది హస్బెండ్. ద హస్బెండ్ గెట్స్ సమ్టైమ్స్ హస్బెండ్ ఈజ్ మ్యారీడ్ అండ్ సమ్టైమ్స్ మ్యాన్ ఈజ్ మ్యారీడ్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ ఫైండ్స్ దట్ వైఫ్ ఈజ్ వెరీ షార్ప్ అండ్ వెరీ పించింగ్ వర్డ్స్ హీ స్పీక్స్. సో హీ గోస్ అండ్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ఇన్ ద మదర్ సమ్టైమ్స్. సమ్టైమ్స్ మదర్ ఈజ్ వెరీ లవింగ్, వెరీ కైండ్ అండ్ అ పర్సన్ ఫీల్స్ సమ్ సోలేస్ ఇన్ ద మదర్. వెన్ ఎవర్ వైఫ్ క్రియేట్స్ ట్రబుల్ హీ గోస్ టు మదర్. ఆర్ సమ్టైమ్స్ మదర్ ఈజ్ అ ట్రబుల్ క్రియేటర్, షీ డిమాండ్స్ సో మెనీ థింగ్స్, ఐ వాంట్ దిస్ ఐ వాంట్ దట్. దెన్ హస్బెండ్ టేక్ షెల్టర్ ద వైఫ్, వైఫ్ ఈజ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్, పొలైట్, వెల్ బిహేవ్డ్. ఇమాజిన్ అ పర్సన్ హ్యావింగ్ ట్రబుల్ ఫ్రమ్ బోత్ సైడ్స్, మదర్ ఆల్సో, వైఫ్ ఆల్సో. సమ్టైమ్స్ అ పర్సన్ బికమ్స్ లైక్ మృదంగ్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్ మదర్, దే బోత్ వాంట్ టు ఫైట్ అండ్ దే హీ బికమ్స్ ఎ చట్నీ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్ లైక్ దట్. దెన్ వాట్ యూ షుడ్ డూ, యథారణ్యం యథాగృహం ఈ సార్, ఇమీడియట్లీ యూ షుడ్ గో టు ఫారెస్ట్ ఇది సార్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ ప్రభుపాద్ క్లారిఫైస్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద ఫారెస్ట్. సచ్ అ మ్యాన్ ఇస్ నాట్ అలోడ్ టు రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ హోమ్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ యు నో హీ కెన్ లీవ్ హిస్ వైఫ్ అండ్ మదర్ అండ్ రన్ అవే సమ్వేర్ టు సమ్ ఇస్కాన్ టెంపుల్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ అలోడ్ బికాస్ వన్స్ అ పర్సన్ మ్యారీస్ ఈ సపోజ్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్. సో ప్రభుపాద్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ యథారణ్యం యథాగృహం మీన్స్ యూ షుడ్ టేక్ టు ద నవవిధ భక్తి శ్రవణం, శ్రవణం కృష్ణారామ గోవింద. యూ షుడ్ జస్ట్ గెట్ ఇన్ టు చాంటింగ్ ద హోలీ నేమ్, డాన్సింగ్, యూనో ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ అండ్ ప్రీచింగ్, టాలరేట్. దర్ ఆర్ మెనీ పీపుల్ లైక్ దట్ యూ విల్ సీ, హూ హ్యావ్ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ వైఫ్ అండ్ అన్ఫేవరబుల్ మదర్ సమ్టైమ్స్. హియర్ దర్ ఇస్ నో సెపరేషన్ ఫ్రమ్ దెమ్, హీ ఈజ్ విత్ దెమ్ ఓన్లీ, బట్ హీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు బీ హ్యాపీ. సమ్టైమ్స్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ ద ప్రజెన్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ లివింగ్ టుగెదర్ వన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ హ్యాపీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ బిటర్ రిలేషన్షిప్స్, వన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ హ్యాపీ. బట్ ద వేదిక్ లైఫ్ టీచర్స్ దట్ దర్ షుడ్ బి ఎథిక్ రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ద ఫ్యామిలీ మెంబర్స్. ద ఫాదర్ షుడ్ బి ప్రొటెక్టివ్, ద మదర్ షుడ్ బి క్యారింగ్ అండ్ లవింగ్, అండ్ ద చిల్డ్రన్ షుడ్ బి కేర్ఫుల్, ఐఎమ్ గ్రేట్ఫుల్. ద చిల్డ్రన్ షుడ్ బి గ్రేట్ఫుల్, ద ఫాదర్ షుడ్ బి రెస్పాన్సిబుల్, ద మదర్ షుడ్ బి నరిషింగ్ ద చిల్డ్రన్. ద మదర్ ఇస్ నరిష్ ఆఫ్ ద హోల్ హౌస్. ఏ ఉమెన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ అస్ గృహలక్ష్మి. గృహలక్ష్మి షీ మేక్స్ ద హౌస్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ప్లేస్, వెరీ ఆస్పీషియస్ ప్లేస్ ఫర్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ టు లివ్. లైక్ యునో రైజింగ్ అలీ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్, యూనో టేకింగ్ బాత్. ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ అబౌట్ ద్రౌపది యుల్ బి అమేజ్డ్. ద్రౌపది షీ వుడ్ కుక్ అండ్ సర్వ్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్ ద పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ ఈటన్ షీ విల్ బి ద లాస్ట్ వన్ టు ఈట్. సిమిలర్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్ ద పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ స్లెప్ట్ షీ విల్ బి ద లాస్ట్ వన్ టు స్లీప్, బట్ షీ విల్ బి ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ టు గెట్ అప్ నెక్స్ట్ డే మార్నింగ్ బిఫోర్ ఎనీ వన్ ఎల్స్ గెట్స్ అప్. వెన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ వుడ్ గెట్ అప్ దే వుడ్ సీ హర్ ఆల్రెడీ బేద్ అండ్ రెడీ, షీ విల్ బి బేద్ అండ్ షీ వుడ్ యూనో పుట్ ద రంగోలీ అండ్ వర్షిపింగ్ ద లార్డ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. సో ఏ ఉమెన్ ఇస్ సపోజ్ టు బీ ఎ నరిషర్ ఆఫ్ ద హౌస్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ యూనో గివింగ్ నైస్ డెలిషియస్ ప్రిపరేషన్స్ ఫుడ్ టు ఈట్, బట్ ఆల్సో క్రియేట్ అ స్పిరిచువల్ అట్మాస్ఫియర్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ద పీపుల్ ఇన్ ద హోమ్ టు బికమ్ స్పిరిచువల్లీ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు లార్డ్. సో ద శాస్త్రస్ టీచ్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ త్రూ అటాచ్మెంట్. హౌ కెన్ వన్ లెర్న్ డిటాచ్మెంట్ త్రూ అటాచ్మెంట్? ఫస్ట్ ద శాస్త్రస్ మేక్ వన్ అ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, బికాస్ ఇఫ్ వన్ ఇస్ కంప్లీట్లీ సెల్ఫిష్, గ్రాస్లీ సెల్ఫిష్, ఇమాజిన్ అ సొసైటీ వేర్ పీపుల్ ఓన్లీ థింక్ అబౌట్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఓన్లీ. ఎవ్రీ వన్ థింక్స్ హౌ ఐ కెన్ గెట్ మై కోటా ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ బి హ్యాపీ. దిస్ ఇస్ వెస్టర్న్ సివిలైజేషన్. అఫ్ కోర్స్ వీ కెనాట్ లేబల్ ఎవ్రీ వెస్టర్న్ టు బీ లైక్ దట్. దెర్ మే బీ సమ్ ప్యూర్ ఫాలోయర్స్ ఆఫ్ క్రిస్టియానిటీ హూ మే బీ హ్యావింగ్ సమ్ లవ్ అండ్ కేర్ అండ్ ఆల్, బట్ ఇన్ జనరల్ ఇన్ ది వెస్టర్న్ సొసైటీ యూ ఫైన్ పీపుల్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ థింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఓన్లీ దెమ్ సెల్ఫ్ ఓన్లీ, అండ్ వాట్ అబౌట్ మై ఫుడ్, వాట్ అబౌట్ మై ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్. దట్ ఈస్ వై దర్ ఇస్ నో బాండ్ ఓన్లీ బిట్వీన్ మదర్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ చిల్డ్రన్. అండ్ అ బాయ్ ఇస్ 13 ఇయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఏజ్ ఇమీడియట్లీ గోస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద హౌస్ అండ్ దర్ ఇస్ నో క్రయింగ్ ఆర్ వీపింగ్. పేరెంట్స్ డోంట్ క్రై బేటా యూ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు గో నౌ. నో, ఇట్ ఈస్ అ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ practice in vogue in the West. A boy becomes 13, he just leaves home and goes. There is no attachment at all, and he has his own girlfriend or his wife or whatever, his job, his business. There is no bond only. People live like that. So that kind of selfish society will make a heart that is completely dry. That's completely dry. That is the reason why there are so many psychiatrists in the West. Because people have so many psychological problems. Because only when one is in a family where there is a mother, father, children, one is abundantly nourished with so much of love and affection, and the child is psychologically very stable, then one gets the strength to perform great activities. One can do that. You will see in average Indian society, like recently I was speaking in one of the college programs, I was telling certain things about how in Indian families people do. When I asked the students the question, how many of you know, everyone said they know. Like for example, I was telling, you know, when we were small children, if you fall on the ground, you know, and stand up and then you find parents are around you, you will cry naturally. Because a child is sympathy seeking. That's the nature of a child. You want the, immediately want the mother and father to pick you up and embrace you and caress you and, you know, say everything is all right, don't worry and all that. So that kind of desire is there in a child, isn't it? But you will find, I was telling any Indian family, if you see, you know, say they sometimes beat the floor, isn't it? You have seen that, this is the floor who, you know, who caused you the pain? They will beat the floor. And the child feels very happy, you know. I said my father would do that. I asked how many of your father would do that, and practically all the boys raised hand. So it seems that it is there in the Indian way of caring for children, isn't it? And I was telling also some games that parents play. Like, you know, my father would keep the hand on the table. You know, I am supposed to beat, you know. You take away the hand, you know. So when you try to beat like that. So sometimes you would keep the hand so that we can beat, you know. After you beat, you feel very jolly. And then he feels, you know, I'm feeling pain in my hand. You know, he would say like that. So many of them said, indeed, all our parents did that. They were saying. So this kind of, you know, giving so much time, quality time for the children and raising them, you know, and giving their energy in raising the child. So many types of games you would play, and parents were very much a part of it. You see, in India, the women, they put jata, they call it, no? Like this. It takes long time braiding the hair, and they keep long hair, braiding the hair and putting jata. It takes sometimes about 45 minutes, 1 hour. People would say, why? If you go for time management course, they would tell you, better keep a bob cut, you know? So you don't need to have a long hair, isn't it? Why to waste time, they would say. But that was not a waste of time at all. It was an investment in relationship. Because in the course of doing that, naturally they are not going to keep quiet. Then there is going to be some talk. And in the course of the talk, the relationship, it thickens. So mother and daughter, father and son, mother and son, parents and children, and a child gets to get love from so many people, not only mother and father. It's not a nuclear family, you're living in city, only mother and father. No, there is grandfather, there is father's, there is grandfather, there is grandmother, then there is uncle, then there is aunt, and there are, you know, mother's sisters, father's brothers and sisters, so many. It's a big family it is. One gets a different type of love from different people. It's not the same relationship. Certain things you can't tell your father, but you can tell your grandfather. Because you know that he's a simple person. You can talk to him. If you tell your father, you'll get a good beating. Isn't it? So, if you see a typical family, this type of, the kind of bonds and loving bond that exists in a family, is practically unseen in the West. Now, here Prabhupada says here, if you see, everyone feels the absence of his relative who is away from home. The particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. See, the Prabhupada uses the word blessed, which means this type of love is wanted. It is blessed. So now it raises a question in our mind. Vedas are talking about detachment. You know, Vedas are talking about renunciation. How can this kind of family love be called as a blessed love? Prabhupada is saying, family is not blessed to live together. Why? So there is a technique that the Vedas use. Vedas uplift a common animalistic man from the platform of selfishness to the platform of selflessness by using the familial love. So when one rises to the point of loving his wife and children, mother and father, he becomes responsible. When one becomes responsible, then one also becomes to some extent selfless. One, you will always see in such a family, many parents tell in India, my dear child, I don't want anything from you, I just want to see you happy. You will see that. You will see that they don't have much expectation also. They want to see you, you know, coming to a stage where you are educated, you get married, you settle in life, and then you become a responsible person in life. And then they feel, any average Indian mother and father, you ask them, what is the goal of your life? They will say, we want to get our daughters married, and we want to make our son stable in a responsible position, you know, and standing on his own legs, then our life is successful. Anybody you ask. So very few parents have expectation that my son will do this for me, my daughter will do that for me. No, many of them don't have even that expectation. So when the bond of love is experienced between people, that loving bond is experienced, then they think less of themselves and they think more of others. Yeah, more about the other family members. And that kind of experience of love on a mundane platform, when it is elevated through spiritual practices. Spiritual word is a big word because it comes much later. The earlier level of spirituality is religion, religious principle. So in such atmosphere, for people to practice religious principles becomes very easy. Like, you know, yesterday there was Sankranti. Sankranti people celebrate in South in a very big way. Sankranti, you know, bringing the sugar cane, you know, making this pongal, you know, the salt one, the sweet one, they make and they get the cows, they do Gopuja, they worship the cows. The cows are decorated beautifully with different kinds of vermilion, colorful paste and all. And they paint the, you know, this horns. They keep two lemons on the tip of the horns. You know. That's beautiful. Sometimes they keep Agarbati also in there. They decorate the cow with a beautiful cloth. And the cow is worshipped actually on the Sankranti day. And then they bring the sugarcane juice and sugarcane sticks, and then they worship the Lord, and then everyone eats sugarcane and they share. So you will find this is one occasion. Similarly, we have so many occasions. In every occasion, there is an opportunity to perform some puja. Some kind of religious practices they have. Going to temple, doing some offering some flowers, circumambulating the deity, bowing down to Lord. So the religion is interwoven with community life. It's the beginning of religion. The beginning of religion means some rituals and rites. We don't know the meaning much, but you're doing it on a platform of thick community relationships. Now in a family, if a father is going, then everyone will want to go. If father and mother are going to temple, then we also go. Because we love them, so we also go with them. So father is bowing down, so you also bow down. So all are interwoven with thick relationships in a family. And the leader of the family performs religion, so everyone follows. So that is how the beginning, that's the beginning of religion. And then when one practices religion and comes into the scriptures like Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavatam, then one understands the source of love, which is Krishna. And then one understands, oh, now we understand where this love is flowing. The love we experience from the mother and father, family and friends, relatives. It's all the origin of that love, the reservoir of that love is Krishna. One will understand. I was reading recently Nectar of Devotion. It is said one elderly lady in Vrindavan is speaking to the gopis. She's telling, you see this Krishna, how he is so eloquent. When he comes across the demigods, he's speaking to them in Sanskrit language. And when he comes to Vrindavan, to all of you Vrajagopis, he is speaking in Vrajabhasha. At the same time, I have also seen him speaking to the cows and buffaloes in their language. And not only that, he also speaks to the parrots and, you know, cuckoos, which are sitting in the trees, in their language also. And there are also people from the Kashmiri province who talk in Kashmir, and Krishna talks in that language also. So she's saying, how is it that Krishna is able to speak different languages according to different people? It seems that he knows all the languages. She's telling. So in this way, imagine if somebody speaks in your language, you feel a little more intimacy, isn't it? Than if somebody speaks in a strange language. So she's telling, in this way, she says, Krishna is smart and he knows how to win the heart of all the living beings that he comes across. She's saying like that. So, this kind of feeling of love towards the Lord is experienced when one studies the nature of the Lord. Like when Krishna was appearing in the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj, all the great elite personalities who had come there, they were all, everyone's eyes were focused on Krishna. And it is said, Krishna was wearing this beautiful, dazzling, golden pitambar. And Krishna's body was so beautifully, delicately formed. They all felt that the creator of this creation has completed his height of artistry by creating Krishna's beautiful form. They thought that a creator cannot create a body more beautiful than this. They felt like that. So the scriptures talk about Lord's personality, Krishna's form, Krishna's activities, Krishna's quality. And like there is an example of Krishna's quality. It is said how Krishna is a pleasing talker. Like, you know, when Krishna, after he subdued Kalia, Kalia was feeling severe pain on his body because Krishna had danced on his hooves. He was feeling severe pain. And Krishna thought that maybe he's very upset or something. Then Krishna told Kalia, my dear Kalia, please do not become upset with me. Do not become angry with me. Actually, I had to take such an action on you because these cows of Vrindavan, they are very dear to me and they are worshipped even by the demigods. And because of your poison, by drinking the water of Yamuna, these cows have died and then I brought them back to life. Because you created such a trouble for my cows, I had to, you know, chastise you, punish you. And that is why I am punishing you and banishing you from Vrindavan, so don't become angry with me. Krishna was trying to pacify Kalia. So he's called as a pleasing talker. So we hear about Krishna's form, we hear about Krishna's qualities, Krishna's nature. By hearing these things, one understands how Krishna is the source of all that love. Like you find amongst the devotees, what kind of separation they feel from Krishna. In the very first canto of Bhagavatam, you find Arjuna, when Arjuna was interrogated by Yudhishthira Maharaj about what happened exactly, why you are so sorrowful. Arjuna was breathing heavily. He could not speak only when he was interrogated about Krishna. At last he tells that Krishna has left the world and returned to the spiritual world. So at that time Arjuna is remembering fondly all the intimate dealings of Krishna, his sweet smiles, his intimate confidential talks, his loving dealings with him, and all the different things that he did. Like what is it, Gandiva, this Kandaprastha forest, how they went together and they killed all the demons and they gave Agni a chance to devour the forest. And how Krishna was the one who gave him the strength to go to the heavenly planets and get the celestial weapons and come. So like that he gives a long list of items where all Krishna was involved. So his mind became completely submerged in remembrance of Krishna and his name, form, pastime, qualities, activities, everything. Same way you find Uddhava. When Uddhava was speaking, when Vidura came and asked Uddhava, you are the one who was present when Krishna ascended to his abode. Please tell me. And then as soon as Uddhava was asked a question about Krishna, immediately Uddhava goes into a trance. For a long time he doesn't speak. Why? When he was a small boy, when he was a small child, Uddhava used to play with Krishna dolls, even when he was a small child. He developed a great affinity for Krishna, even when he was a small baby. You know, playing with the dolls. In India, it's a customary practice in homes. People give, you know, Saraswati, Lakshmi, you know, Krishna, Vishnu, Ram dolls to their children. Nowadays, they give teddy bear and, you know, dogs. They give dog and teddy bear and elephants. And children also become like animals when they grow up. Yeah. Because if you give them deities of gods, you know, I mean, dolls of gods, then, see, they are surely going to ask the parents, if you give your child, like in my home, when I went this time, I was showing Ramananda one Krishna doll with which I used to play. I was showing. So the same doll, when I see it, I feel so joyful to see. That was the same doll, this much size, you know. So when parents give you a doll, then you ask, you know, what is this doll you are giving me? Who is this person? Then parents will get an opportunity to talk about Krishna. They will say, this is Krishna, and how Krishna looks like, and you know, what are Krishna's qualities, Krishna's activities. Huh? So that is how the parents develop, parents teach the children to develop affection for Krishna like that. So Uddhava also, and then Uddhava speaks several glories of Krishna also, like that, when he is speaking, and he is feeling separation, great separation from Krishna. So this kind of, attachment that one develops for the family members later on becomes transcended into attachment for Krishna. That is actually the purpose. In fact, feeling attachment for the Lord or the devotees is something that is very natural for the living entity. Prabhupada writes in one of the Kunti Maharani's prayers purports that living entity has attachment. You take the attachment away, he is finished, Prabhupada says. Because if somebody, sometimes people say, I don't depend on anyone, I have no attachment to anyone, and that is a dry impersonal philosophy, where one feels a kind of, non-attachment to Lord or the living beings on a kind of neutral platform. That is not a stable platform of the living being. The stable platform of the living being is to have a pure affinity. Prabhupada says, in impure state, we have impure attachment. In the pure state, we have pure attachment. If somebody says he has no attachment, he is practically dead. He is in the zero-zero. Such a person cannot engage in loving devotional service. For loving devotional service, you have to have love. Love for whom? Love for Krishna and the devotees. Then we can engage in loving devotional service. So there has to be a loving bond, loving attachment. So, certainly the scriptures condemn material attachment. As I told you, in the early stage, there is no attachment in the platform of ignorance, because one is selfish. Somebody who is extremely selfish may be thinking, I have no attachment to anyone. Yes, you don't have any attachment because you are selfish. You have only attachment to your own needs and concerns. You have only attachment to your own agenda. You have only attachment to what you want to accomplish in life and what you want to show off to the world. You have only attachment for them. You have no attachment for anybody else because of self-centeredness. It is not an advanced state. It is an animalistic state. Yeah, higher than that state is a state when we develop emotional bonds, attachment to mother, father, you know, relatives, friends, which is very natural in conditioned stage. We develop attachment for impure stage, we develop impure attachments. And when those objects are taken away, Bhagavatam gives innumerable examples of how in this material world, the living beings are brought together, they stay for a while and get separated, never to meet again. Then they are born in new situations. Just like in a hotel or restaurant, some people come together, they sit in the chairs, eat food, and they all wash their hands and go to different destinations. Like that, we all come together in a family. So, when one reads such verses, what is one supposed to understand? We have to know that, yes, we feel strong attachment, but that feeling of attachment in the material world is useless. Because the more we are attached, the more the pain will be when we are separated. So then one understands, where should I repose my attachment? Then one understands that yes, now if you repose your attachment on Krishna, that will never be thwarted. Krishna will never die, I will never die, and the relationship will never die. One understands that. So that is how in a platform of material attachment, one can gradually transcend it to the platform of pure spiritual attachment. That is what Prabhupada is saying here. The particular symptom of the age of Kali is that no family is now blessed to live together. To earn a livelihood, father lives at a place far away from the sun. Ideal Vedic life means a person should have a house, and just behind the house he should have a farm. He should not be traveling too far at all. The living place and the job place should be next door. One doesn't travel at all long distance. It's very nearby. And the real opulence, as I was telling you, is to have the cows and the grains and the wealth. That is one opulence. another type of opulence is to live close to nature, drinking fresh water and drink, you know, breathing fresh air, eating freshly cooked food. In America, it's very common for people to have food cooked for 1 week, kept in the fridge. They cook only on Sundays. And now Indians, many Indians are also following nowadays. This fridge culture has come from the West only, keeping in the fridge. It's a bad habit. It's a very bad habit. It's very unhealthy, you know, keeping in the fridge. You cook and keep it for 4 days. But America, they give for 1 week minimum. Sometimes longer also. Yeah, they give it longer also, yeah. That kind of. So eating freshly cooked food, offered to Lord, and then eat that type of food. Another type of opulence is to have loving relationships. If one has a, like you will find Shiva and Parvati are always sitting together and discussing, you see. Parvati keeps on asking questions and Shiva keeps answering. So you will see it's a family and they have their two children, Ganesh and Kartikeya, who are also great souls. This is a family. It's a typical family. So a typical family is actually God-centered. You see, Parvati always is asking spiritual questions. You will find many of the Puranas give discussion between Parvati and Shiva. They are all on a very high platform. She asks so many philosophical questions about life, about goal of life, meaning of life, about attaining God. She's asking about the holy name. She's asking so many things. So this is an ideal, typical family, where that type of bond with the center, God in the center, that will elevate the family. Certainly it will be elevating. So, then such a family is considered a blessed family. Otherwise not. If a family, if the attachment between the members of the family is only for eat, drink and be merry, that is a great curse. Sometimes you find, some families say that, you know, we never quarrel, we are all very cooperative. But cooperative for what? Cooperative for eat, drink and be merry? Then it is dog life, cat life. Like you see, often it is said we should have a healthy body. Correct? Is there anyone in this world who will not want a healthy body? We all want a healthy body. But a healthy body is considered a blessing if you use that body in Lord's service. Then it is a blessing. Otherwise, a healthy body is a curse. Imagine, for example, if somebody has a very healthy body, he can utilize his body in sense gratification thoroughly. Then it is a great curse. That's what happened in Nalakur Manigrave. They had very hale and healthy bodies, demigod bodies, but they misused their body. When you observe that, it appears that it is better that you have an unhealthy body. You have such an unhealthy body in which you cannot do any sense gratification. Very good. At least you can, you know, sometimes people, you can't eat well, you can't have sex, you can't have movements of the body. Some people may consider it a curse. Like some people get diseases where they become bedridden. But there are examples of devotees who went to Vrindavan when they were bedridden and sitting and hearing and chanting all day. That's a great blessing. Then lack of health becomes your blessing in disguise. Just see. It's a blessing. So what is blessing, what is curse should be seen from the reference point of Krishna consciousness. We have to see that. So here Prabhupada calls it a blessing. Blessed to live together. Yes, it's a blessing if it is helping them to come closer to God. Then it is a blessing. If people living together, like, you know, we say husband, like sometimes our students are away from home. It's a blessing for them that they can become Krishna conscious. Probably if they were at home, they would have never been allowed an opportunity to chant one round also. So being here, Prabhupada says somebody staying far away. Far away is wonderful. Conscious, very nicely. So what is blessing, what is curse should be seen from the reference point of consciousness. And these three things Prabhupada is saying, which are sufferings. There are sufferings from internal diseases, separation from those near and dear, and anxieties for maintaining the status quo. Prabhupada says, maintaining a family is more difficult than maintaining an empire. Prabhupada writes in one place. Now, how is it so? Why is it so difficult? You know, if somebody is married, just one wife and one or two children, and you are living in a flat, is it difficult than maintaining an empire? It won't be difficult if all the members of the family are self-satisfied devotees. Often it is not the case. Often everyone has their wants, the greed. It is so great that it is very difficult to satisfy the members of the family. Your husband or husband has his greed and wife has her greed and children have their greed. When all the people are greedy in all directions, then it becomes difficult for the maintainer of the family to satisfy everyone. That is why in the Vamadeva section, there is a verse which says, if one is wearing the shoes of self-satisfaction, they can walk through all the pebbles and thorns of this world very smoothly, without difficulty. If you are wearing the gumboot shoes, you know, big shoes, then you have no problem, even when you are walking in the pebbles and thorns. But if that self-satisfaction is not there, imagine you have no shoes and you have to walk through a thorny forest route where there are pebbles and thorns and thickets and grass and kusha grass and everything. To walk through that, its life is very painful. So the modern age of Kali Yuga is characterized by lack of satisfaction, lack of contentment. People are always dissatisfied. They want more and more and more. So Prabhupada is saying that's why maintaining the status quo becomes very difficult. And one of the reasons is people compare with others. Like people think, you know, we have a scooter, they have a car, so we have to have a car also. You know, we have a black and white TV, they have a color TV, so we should have a color TV also. You know, their son, you know, has gone to America and our son is studying in India, so we have to send our son to America also. People always compare with others. What is my neighbor having? So in this way, even in businesses also, like recently I met a businessman who was telling me that his health is torn to pieces, his mind is in turmoil and he has a terrible fight with his own family members. But he said, still in this predicament I am eager to expand my business. He said, I want to expand my business, to expand my frontiers. And he said, you have come to me at the right time, you were selling me. Now I am in a crossroad now, whether to expand or not. What do you want me to do? Then I asked him, what do you want to do? He says, my mind wants to expand the business now and make more money because my competitors are all going ahead. But at the same time, another part of my mind says that I have to set right these things first. So he was in turmoil. So Kali Yuga is characterized by such kind of greed, intense greed for money, intense greed for power, power hungry, politics hungry people. So, and there is no end for that. There is no end. Even villagers can become greedy. For example, if somebody is in a village, it's not that he is a godly man or a saintly man, just because he is living in a village. Go to a village, you know, earlier he was using a bull, now he has got a tractor now. Earlier he was getting natural rainwater, now he has put a big bore. Water is coming. Now abundant water, you know, he has tractor, he has got fertilizer. Now he procures more land and more cultivation and more money. Then they sometimes become richer than the millionaires in the city also. Sometimes they become very greedy also. And when the money comes, they can misuse it also. They can misuse the money in many wrong ways. So it's not that simply living in a natural living lifestyle of village ensures that you live a happy life. No. Even they have lost their peace also, many people, villages nowadays. If you go to the villages. So the real happy life is in Krishna only. Whether you are in village or in city. What is the quality of our consciousness and lifestyle? That's why Prabhupada saying maintaining the status quo, separation from those near and dear, sufferings from internal diseases. So these internal diseases are also they also include depression, inferiority complex, martyrdom, self-pity, and all these things are also mental diseases, especially in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is characterized by, that is why the psychiatrists have a big business now, booming business. People go, because more than external diseases, they have internal diseases. And people's faces are all hung down because of sad state of affairs. Mandabhagya, that was, what is that? Prayena alpa ayusha sabya kalavasmin yugejana. Manda, sumanda. The Prabhupada says they're very dull for spiritual life. Even if you can offer them a program for happiness, Krishna consciousness, they are very dull. They say no. There are very few people who want to hear about spiritual life. Many of them say not interested. But even those who are interested, they go to bogus swamis and bogus gurus and they get cheated also, poor fellows. That is Kali Yuga. Majority have no interest, and those who have interest, they also get misguided. Misguided, very unfortunate, Kali Yuga. So, what action we can take in such a society? One of the reasons that scriptures give us the horrible picture of Kali Yuga in an open way, the scriptures expose, is that we should get the desire to quit the material world. We should reject the material world and quit the material world, want to quit the material world. That desire should awaken in our heart. The purpose of scriptures telling us so openly about the nature of Kali Yuga is that at least we can give up that lethargy and awaken. Yes, now I have to do something to get rid of this horrible age of Kali Yuga. I don't want to be reborn again and again, repeatedly in this horrible age. One should get the desire. And also, we are talking about internal disturbance in this verse. The internal disturbance can be conquered only by relishing internal happiness by Krishna consciousness in association of devotees. Actually, we can see in the company of devotees, our whole lifestyle, our whole orientation, our whole goal, everything is diametrically opposite to that of the karmis in the outside world. You can see that. So, in a company, in a society of devotees, it's very much possible to live a life externally, internally, very happy. If after coming to a society of devotees, if one is not happy, he is the most unfortunate person. Because one is like a frog in the well, living himself and lamenting for things which one need not lament at all. Like Krishna said, Ashochanan Vashochastvam Pragyamadasya Bhashasi. You know, I read somewhere, you are getting the best of the prasad, you are getting the best of the dancing, best of the singing, best of the company of clean-minded people, people with clean behavior, and people who have pure goals in life. After achieving all these things, if still a person is morose, how can he be? He is even lower than a Shudra, isn't it? If one is lamenting, even after having all these things, that moroseness comes from a feeling of deprivation of sense gratification. Sometimes a person feels, I have everything except sense gratification. So one laments. That is the greatest curse. So one should be very blissful in association of devotees. And also, because we are living a Krishna-centered life, we can hand over all our anxieties to Krishna. Although in Kali Yuga is the age of anxieties, are devotees not exception to the anxieties? Yes, devotees also will get anxieties. But devotees are different from the karmis. Why? Because they can hand over their anxieties to Krishna. And Krishna will take care of the anxieties, while devotee can completely, like a child in the, lap of the parents, a devotee can peacefully engage in Krishna service, Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And also, our maintaining the status quo and all these problems, what Prabhupada is saying, will become simple when we give up the artificial lifestyle as much as possible and live natural lifestyles. So, the modern age is an age where everyone is trying to impress each other. People are trying to impress each other by trying to increase the facilities, increase the resources. So, a devotee has to keep life very simple. When we say simple living, high thinking, it should be in all levels. The food we eat, the clothes we wear, the talks that we have, the exchanges that we have with people, straightforward talk. And if you are living a life like that, it is very easy. And you go into impressing mode, finished. Then all headache will start. Like for example, you want to wear gold strap watch, you want to wear a silken cloth, silken robes, you want to talk impressively to impress the people, you don't want to tell the truth. You want to tell everything but the truth in a very impressive way, isn't it? And you want to eat opulent foods. When we eat too opulent foods, our mind and senses become disturbed. When we wear very opulent dresses, we attract the wrong people towards us, isn't it? And when we become impressive, duplicitous talkers, then our mind becomes wound up and duplicitous. And we cannot attain Krishna at all, you see. So, keeping life simple in this age, and with a Krishna-centered life, it is very easy for one to go on, even in this age. Srila Prabhupada was such a personality. Srila Prabhupada was such a person. He could, he could engage so many complex people in Krishna service. Once Srila Prabhupada was asking in a small group of confidential devotees, Prabhupada was asking them, who is great? Gandhi is great or I am great? Prabhupada asked. And the devotees just laughed. And Prabhupada said, you see, I will tell you how I am great. And Prabhupada said, you see, Gandhi, he drove away the Britishers from India, but I engaged them in Krishna service. Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada showed, there was one devotee from England who was taking a chamar and doing chamar to Prabhupada. He was doing that. Sorry, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, just see. I have not driven him out, but I have engaged him in service. And I don't pay them anything. Prabhupada said. Yes, this is Prabhupada. So, that requires, Prabhupada did that very expertly. Very expertly. Srila Prabhupada ki? Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Thank you very much.